Welcome to Tori Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yechezkel Perek Zayin, Chapter 7. In our previous Perek Vav, Chapter 6, Yechezkel addressed the land of Israel to warn about the upcoming destruction that Hashem is bringing as retribution for the sins of the people. The Perek ended with Yechezkel dramatically stamping his feet and clapping his hands, symbolizing Hashem's mourning over the destruction that didn't have to be. Perek Zayin continues the theme of the severity of the upcoming destruction and is also addressed to the land of Israel. In this Perek, Yechezkel emphasizes over and over that the end is not near. The end is here. Hashem says to Yechezkel in Pasuk Bet, verse 2, V'ata ben Adam, you son of man, ko amar Hashem Elokim l'admat Yisrael, so says Hashem to the land of Israel, Ketz. It is the end. Ketz ba. Haketz al arva kanfot haaretz. The end is here on all of the four corners of the land. The end is upon you. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, v'ata haketz alecha. The end is upon you now. V'shilachti pi bach, and my anger is going out against you. V'shafticha kidrachayich, and I am going to judge you according to your actions. V'natati alayich et kol tu'avotayich, I'm going to put upon you all of your misdeeds. The end is now. You had many years of sinning, and it's coming now. It's catching up with you. The language of v'shaftich kidrachayich means that Hashem is punishing the Jews mida keneged mida. I'm punishing you according to your actions. It's not Hashem who's bringing some unfair punishment upon you, but rather, v'natati alayach et kol tovatayach. I'm putting on you all your sins. It's your sins that are punishing you. It's your own deeds that are causing the punishment to have to happen. And we think about this both in religious terms, but also in political terms. Yirmiyahu told the Jews not to rebel against Babylonia, the rebellion that they are really digging into now at this time. And it was them that said, they're going to do it anyway. He told it to Tzidkiyahu. He told it to the soldiers. He walked around the entire country and told them, person to person, do not make this rebellion. And it's this rebellion that's going to cause the Chorban. Meaning, v'natati alayach et kol tovatayach is not just I'm punishing you for your deeds, but your deeds are punishing you. Your religious deeds are punishing you, and your political deeds are punishing you. This refrain of Kate's, Bahakates, the end is here, the end is here, comes up over and over in this parak. The repetition sounds almost like a drum beat. You can hear this rhythm really poignantly in Pasuk Vav, verse 6. Kates ba, Bahakates, Hikits alecha, hine ba'a. Yechezkel here in this Pasuk is playing with language. He's repeating, he's using rhythm. The end is near. Here is the end. It's jumping up on you. Here it comes. You also have the sense of Lashon Nofel HaLashon, which we've spoken about, a language that falls on itself, where he uses a play on word with the Shoresh Ketz. Ketz means end, and Ketz means to awaken. So he says, the end is here. It's awakened upon you. And just that kind of that irony of the end is awakened, because awakened usually means beginning, but here it means it's the beginning of the end. There's also rhythm of other words. You heard ba, ba, ba'a in the pasuk. In pasuk hey, also, ko amar Hashem Elokim, ra'a achat, ra'a hine ba. The end is coming. The evil is coming. It's coming. It's coming. We remember Yechezkel in the last parak banging his hands and his feet. And now he's banging, but with language. And it's different. It's not a wild type of banging. Yechezkel is much more methodological here. He's more methodical. He's using poetic language to try to convince the people that the end is indeed here. Rabbeinu Lau points out that the people right now in Yerushalayim, we're 6 years before the Chorban, they certainly would not think that the end is here. Actually, they think it's the beginning. They think it's Haketz. They think they're awakening. They're just starting to really bring their rebellion against Babylonia into full swing under King Chizkiyahu. They're digging tunnels. They're erecting fortifications. They're planning for an all-out war. And Yechezkel's message, remember who his audience is. He's talking to the exiled Jews of Babel, that this rebellion is for naught. This rebellion won't be successful. It's not the beginning of overthrowing Babel, but rather it's the beginning of their own destruction. As we just said, it's your sins that are upon you. It's your wrong conceptions that are going to end up destroying you. Hashem doesn't have to bring it from the outside. You're just bringing it on yourself. Again, both in the religious arena and in the political arena. And the idea of it being Bnei Israel's own sins that will cause their punishment continues in this parak. Here's just an example from Pasuk Dalid. Hashem says, Lo tachos enai alecha, velo achmol. I'm not going to avert my eyes from you, and I won't have mercy on you anymore. Ki drachayich alayich, your ways are upon you. That's what I'm going to put on you. Your own ways, your horrible deeds, all these abominations that you've been done, that's what's going to be on you. And you will know that I am Hashem. Hashem has been holding back the punishment all these years, sending Nevi'im like Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu to try to convince the people to change. And Yirmiyahu is still, for the next few years, up to the last minute, going to try to convince the people to change their society, to change their conceptions, to change their opinions. But right now, what Yechezkel says is Hashem is looking directly at their sins. V'lo echmol, I will not have mercy. And meaning, I won't keep giving you chances. Instead, d'rachayich alayachatim, v'tovatayich v'tocheich tiyena, your own fault. It is your own ways that are going to be upon you, your own abominations that are going to do you in. And hopefully, through Yechezkel's nevuah, once it happens, they'll recognize that it came from them. It wasn't Hashem being unfair. They did it to themselves. Yechezkel uses this word, derachayach, and the phrase, derachayach alayach, your ways are upon you, time and time again in this parak, as a reason for the punishment. He uses it 5 times. The punishment is not random and is not undeserved. And then the section ends with the already familiar refrain, Yadatem ki ani Hashem, and you will know that I am Hashem. I will establish myself this time, not through mercy, but through just punishment, through mida keneged mida, measure for measure, and through bringing about my word. Yechezkel's use of this double language that we've been seeing, kates, kates, ba'ah, ba'ah, continues throughout the parak, adding to the rhythmic nature of the language, the drumbeats of war, the breathlessness that Yechezkel feels as he relates that the kates is not just near, but here. There are many examples of this parak, of the doubling of language. Here's just one example from Pasuk Yud and Yud Aleph 10 and 11. Says Yechezkel, and I'm going to read both psukim and then translates, just so you hear the language. Hinei hayom, hinei ba'a, yatsa hatzvira, tzatza mateh, paracha zadon. Hamas kam lamateh rasha, lo mehem, lo mehamonam, lo mehem ahem, v'lo noha bahem. And I'm sure you heard, even if you didn't understand the words, the repetition of the syllables, the repetition of the words, the wordplay, how similar the words are to each other. This high-level poetry that Yechezkel is using, here's what it means. Behold the day, behold, it comes. Your doom has gone forth. The rod has blossomed. Pride has budded. Violence has risen up into a rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain, nor their multitude, nor their wealth, neither shall there be any eminency among them. Yechezkel doubles the word hine in Pasuk Yud. Hine hayom, hine ba'ah. Behold, here is the day. Here it comes. It's a word, the word behold, hine, is a word that someone says in surprise when they recognize reality for the first time. And Yechezkel says, hine, it's here. The reality is here. He plays on the word hatzfira and tzatz, the first meaning tzfira, meaning doom, and the second meaning blossom. But he says the blossoming, what's blossomed here is the rod, meaning the staff, the destruction is blossoming. The doom is blossoming. And again, he uses those opposites, playing them off of each other. And then he finishes off with this sad, but actually very beautiful phrase, lo mehem, lo mehamonam, lo mehamehem, lo no habahem. You see, Yechezkel, take this word, the syllable, and use it over and over. And here it means it's not going to be the you that's going to stop this, not your many, not your money, and not anyone who has any power. Yechezkel uses these interesting words and plays them against each other to convey his point. Nothing can stop the destruction. No one will be left. Your stature won't protect you. Your many people, if you're multitudes, you won't protect you. You think you're so wealthy and that's going to protect you. You think your power will protect you. Actually, the wealthy and powerful people, they're the ones that are causing all the corruption in society. Only Yirmiyahu is saying it to them in Yerushalayim. Only tshuva can work. Only return to Hashem can save them. That was the only thing that was really ever able to save them, but they're blinded. They're blinded by the things that they think are going to save them. And now Yechezkel directly addresses the war effort in Pasuk Yud-Dalet. Tiku batakoa, and again, of course, you hear the doubling of language. Hechin hakol ve'ein holech lemilchama ki charoni al kol hamona. They blew the trumpet, they made everything ready, but nobody's going to be there to go into battle because it's my wrath, my charon that's going to be on all of the people. Of course, you hear this language play when Yechezkel is telling them that their efforts are in vain. The fortifications cannot protect them from the wrath of Hashem. They're not really going to battle against the Babylonians. There was never a chance for them to win independence in a war that Yirmiyahu told them not to fight. Their sins are actually the ones that are going to be fighting against them and will ultimately make them fall. Beyond the themes of Mida Keneged Mida in this parak and the futility of war and what's about to be fought and the finality of the punishment that is to come, there's another theme that's running in the background of the parak, and you may have picked it up from some of the key words that have come up. In Pasuk 11, we read, Hachamas kam lamateh rasha, violence has risen up into a rod of wickedness, followed by Pasuk Kaf Gimel, verse 23, which says, Asei haratok ke'art mle'a mishpat damim v'ha'ir mle'a chamas. Make the chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes and the city is full of violence. The word chamas, taken together with the Mila Mancha, the leitmotif, the repeating word of this parak, which is Kates, which means end, reminds the reader of an important and formative story in the beginning of the Torah, that of the Mabel, the Great Flood. And this is a pasuk that brings those words together, the word Kates and the word Hamas. And this is from Breishit 6:13, actually, from the beginning of the story of the Mabel. Vayomer Elokim Lenoach, Hashem says to Noach, Kates kol basar balefanai, the end of all mankind is coming before me. Ki mal'ah ha'aretz chamas mifnehem, the world is filled with violence before them. Ve'hineni mashchitam et ha'aretz, and now I'm going to destroy the land. On the surface, the references to the Mabel are clear. What better way to emphasize the finality and overwhelming nature of the upcoming destruction than to compare it to the worst destruction we have recorded in the Torah? On further reflection, though, the parallel goes deeper. Yechezkel bemoans the upcoming destruction, but also explains that it is just and deserved. What could be so bad that it merits utter destruction that only the Chorban will bring? Here, Yechezkel provides the answer. It's Hamas. Violence. Not only idolatry, not only ignoring Hashem and the prophets, but the creation of a society that's situated upon violence, that doesn't respect boundaries, that will steal from other people, that doesn't look at another person as a human being, but rather a stepping stone to what I want to get for myself. And this was the type of society that brought about the Mabel. This is the type of society fostered by Sodom. And it is this society that is being propagated by the people of Israel, those that worship Hashem at the Beit HaMikdash, but then leave and oppress their neighbors and fellow Jews. A society like that of the Mabel cannot stand. And therefore, Yechezkel must stand now as the Tzofet, the watchmen, and tell them, as he does in their parak, that their society is coming to an end. And he ends the parak with two jarring psukim. Again, note the repetitious language and hear the hoofbeats in the rhythm. Pasuk Vav, verse 26, Hava al Hava Tavo, Vishmu'a el Shmu'a Tia, Ubikshu Chazon Minavi, Vitorah Tovin Mikohen, Veitzamiz Kenim. The destruction, the absolute nothingness is coming. And there's going to be a rumor upon a rumor, meaning you hear these swirling rumors of war. Ubikshu chazon minavi, they're going to ask for a vision from the prophet. V'torah tovad mi kohen, and there won't be Torah that the kohen has to offer. Ve'etza mizkenim, the elders, they won't have any advice. Everyone's going to be stuck in the war. Kav Zayin 27, v'amelech yit'abel, and the king is going to be is going to be mourning, v'nasil bashmama, and the princes are going to be wearing clothing of destruction, v'yedei am ha'aretz tibahalna midarkam, and the people who are living here in the land, they're going to be confused. They won't be able to do anything. That's how I'm going to make them, and I'm going to judge them the way that I'm going to judge them. And they will know that I am Hashem. In these last two psukim, Yechezkel describes the loss of all the people that people look to for structure, for advice, and he uses Hadragah Farm in presenting things from greatest to smallest. And Yechezkel describes the forlorn faces of the people looking for good news from the Navi, the Kohen, the elders, the king, the princes, and each other. None of the leaders can provide relief. And the parag ends with the theme of justified retribution. Midarkem e'aseh otam ubimishpatem eshpatem. I will do according to their actions, I will judge them according to their judgments, and they will know that I am Hashem. In summary, Yechezkel in this parak describes and proclaims that the end is coming. It's going to be terrible, but it will be what you deserve. The court case is here. Hashem will no longer look away. He isn't going to just forgive. He will not push it down the road. You are going to get punished for what you did. You had a lot of chances and you didn't take them. Now your cities are corrupt. They're filled with Hamas, and cities and countries like that do not deserve to continue. It is your deeds that are bringing it upon you, both in the realm of religion and in the realm of politics. It's this rebellion that's going to cause the Chorban, the rebellion that should not have happened. And through use of poetic rhythm, language, and wordplay, Yechezkel spells out to the people what is to come. While Yirmiyahu is speaking to the people of Israel and begging them not to enter this disastrous rebellion and to reform their corrupt society, Yechezkel stands as a witness to the destruction that will come, and that is, it is a result of their evil deeds. V'yadatem ki ani Hashem, and you will know that I am Hashem. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilu Nishmat, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.